B-Pod Studios.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I formation. Johnson in front of Harris. Play fake. Throw to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Jonnu Smith. A beautiful fake from Jones to Harris. And a touchdown to tie it, pending the point after.
I know I said it 2 weeks ago, and even on the opening night. But I tell you what, you got a quarterback.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're touching and Rich. You do indeed have a quarterback, New England. That you know. All right. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv, 617-779-0985. Now, I did see this last night. Rich, explain who our next guest is going to be.
Well, it is somebody who is getting almost as much talk as Tom Brady this morning, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that because I'm looking at who it is trending on Twitter, and I actually see two things right in front of me. Like, what do you see? You see that right there.
Mac Jones.
And then what do you see? You know what? Let's just go back to last night's game, shall we? Michelle Tavoya on the field.
So how has that bond withstood the separation? Well, we asked some tailgaters here whether or not they'll be cheering for Brady tonight. Graham from Methuen, Massachusetts said, what that man gave us for 20 years here at Gillette Stadium, 6 world championships, 20 years of winning football, how can you not cheer for the man? Marcus from Boston said, I've been torn about it. The fans are probably going to cheer for him, but personally, Tom doesn't play for us anymore. And you shouldn't cheer for any player that does not play for your team, period. And Schwartzy from Ashland said, I'll cheer for him when he comes out. But after that, nah, I want some sacks. I want to see our friggin' linebackers just pummel them and punish him.
And yeah, that captures the spirit of the damn thing.
And that is second thing trending on Twitter, Mac Jones. And Schwartzy.
Yeah. Schwartzy joins us now on the. She's an expert, right?
Yeah, Bobby, she's on the
Of course she is.
This is what Volkswagen paid for. This is the Volkswagen Dealer's Expert Hotline. Schwartzy, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning,
Congratulations on the. First of all, congratulations on being a true Patriot fan. I was very proud of you in the crowd last night for your reception of Tom Brady. Thank you for that.
Well, you know, hey, you do have to cheer him. I mean, you know, he did give us a lot, and he's moved on. So
yeah, but then you hope that they freaking killed him, which is
you know, once the whistle blows, you know, all bets are off. You know, it's football. It's, you know, you cheer for your team. You don't cheer for one guy on the other team. You know,
you got that right, Schwartzy. I like that. Now, Schwartzy, you were just kind of like laying back in the cut. You were just in the car. Like, did DeFoya come up to you, or who came up to you to get the quote?
Oh, my God, no. So NFL, two people from the NFL, or sorry, not NFL, Sunday Night Football, came up to us. It was actually last week, because I know there's been some chatter on the Twitter and all that other fun stuff that, these people aren't real, and that picture was taken on a sunny day, and it was raining, and yada, yada, yada.
So that's how people are spending their time?
My God.
Is seeing the integrity of the Schwartzy quote?
Jesus.
What a bunch of losers. Well, Schwartzy, thank you for that's why we had you on, to legitimize your existence.
Yeah. To prove to everybody besides, you know, my parents and my my siblings that I am actually real. So, yeah.
So they had asked you the week prior.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they asked us the week prior, and they had a still photographer there. And so I do have a classic station wagon that gets a lot of notice that I bring for tailgating. And so they're like, oh, can we get some pictures? And I'm like, yeah. And so I actually had 4 friends with me at the time, and we had some great photos of all 4 of us. And then they're like, oh, let's get you in the car. Okay, do this. And they're like, oh yeah, give me some attitude with the arm on the seat. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm gonna look
fashion
like
fashion shoes.
Yeah, Schwartzy, you're the star. I mean, listen, I'm sure your friends are fine, but they immediately recognized greatness when they saw it.
Yeah, they were like, separate from the pack, and let's get Schwartzy in the station wagon. Well,
so I want to ask, like, so you are, as I said, trending on Twitter. It's Mac Jones's name and then yours underneath it. And you were tweeted about all over the place last night. Were there some tweets that you saw that surprised you? I mean, I know that there were some famous people who also were saying some stuff about you as well.
Okay, so yeah, I saw some. I didn't see all. I was actually, I'm going to say, full disclosure, I haven't slept since the game last night because I've been looking at this nonsense, and I also...
Welcome to our world.
I was just going to say.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But, yeah, I mean, some of them I was like, oh, that's really nice. That's cool. And, of course, and then you get the trolls that, you know, like, wait, yeah, and it's not even worth giving you know, credit to anyone who for the things that were said that were, you know, that were not nice.
How dare can anyone not be nice to Schwartzy? What are they doing? What are they thinking?
Well, I mean, it's Twitter, and that's people are terrible, are just awful on it.
People are trolls. You get the, oh, is that a man? Wait, I thought it was a girl. I don't know. And then some idiot was like, I bet that guy never even played football. So I responded. I responded to that one, said, well, I actually played with the Boston Militia on offensive line and defensive line and have 2 championship rings. You?
Oh, oh hell
there you
yeah.
go.
Schwartzy with the receipts.
Back off.
Schwartzy with the receipts.
And then I've got 4 championship, 4? A total of, oh crap, I've lost count now. I got a bunch more championship rings thanks to the Boston Renegades because I announce for them, so I'm the PA announcer.
Well, Schwartzy,
oh, that's nice.
I was going to say, who cares if you played football or not, but Schwartzy indeed did and has the receipts for it. Well, Schwartzy, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the recognition. Do not, people, anonymous people on Twitter are just the... You got a lot more going on than they do. Let's just say that. But don't worry. Well, exactly. Don't worry so much about them.
Got to let it roll off. So yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Schwartzy, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the fame, and congratulations on being a good Pat fan that had the right attitude going in there. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Right, awesome.
You
and that sweet station wagon. I want to see a full shot of that thing.
I just like that.
Give us attitude.
I like that. I like that people were. I know it's like a fashion.
My
shoot.
God.
Like, give us a little attitude. I like the fact that people were. It was a sunny day. Schwartzy wasn't at the game.
Okay, now I have to kind of see what type of tweet she was getting. Are people trying to call her out?
Well, I think I can tell you right away is that people were just being ridiculous. We're being absolutely ridiculous.
So if I click on Schwartzy, which is, as I said, it's trending.
And then what sucks is she's been up all night reading this crap.
Put Schwartzy on the next Manning cast, people are saying.
I would.
Hell yeah, you put her on there.
I mean, I was very proud of the Patriots fans last night.
Yeah, that was...
Very proud. I thought it was going to be, and based on the people that I knew that were going to the game, I thought it was going to be a big rub yourself in oil and just whoever wins, we've had a great time. And I do give you credit because you, as a fan base, now I can say have stayed consistent. As much as you defended the wall and all this Brady stuff, you have stayed loyal to this team.
Yep.
And it did mean something to me. As childish as it may sound, with the way this fan base behaved as being victimized and everything else for those 20 years, from Spygate to Deflategate to Goodell to Tomasi to Mortensen, I now say that you are a consistent, good fan base.
And you know what was also fantastic as well and surprising was just the tiniest amount of fanfare that was given to when Tom Brady set that record. Now, part
well,
of that had to do
anything,
with the
yeah.
confusion,
yeah.
you know, as to they gave him that extra yard and they went back on it. But even with that, like, it was just basically they put the thing up on the Jumbotron and look at Drew Brees standing there expecting there to be some sort of...
Standing there in the pouring rain with no umbrella.
Well, he was like, why aren't they bringing his kids down like they did for me? So, yeah, I watched that again this morning. And, yeah, I mean, the way... There's nothing they could have done. I mean, Brady kept the ball, but you didn't know he even kept the ball until, like an hour later.
Yeah.
He was in a hurry. And did you see Bert Breer before the game? Bert Breer basically told everyone right before the game started, the Patriots and Brady and the Buccaneers didn't want the game to stop. The NFL stepped in and said, no, you're going to stop the game. You're going to put up
so
something.
So he didn't call timeout?
No.
Well, hang on. He did call timeout,
but it had nothing to do with the
record. No, I know that.
He called timeout, but originally, if things went as planned, I mean, the NFL went to the Patriots and the Buccaneers said, okay, Brady's going to break the record. You're going to stop the game, right? And the Patriots like, well, no, we hadn't planned on it. And the Buccaneers basically told the league, no, we don't want to stop the game.
No,
Brady said that.
And Brady, after that completion, I know he called timeout because he had to because of confusion, but he... Well, they misspotted the ball, and then they had to figure out where to spot the ball, and then it was a whole thing.
But the NFL actually had to step in and say, no, this is the record breaker. We want you to stop the game.
And I also like the fact that the Patriots didn't go overboard with the pregame stuff for Tom Brady. There was a minute-long video they showed, and that was it.
Well, whatever they did worked, because Brady was not himself yesterday.
Nope. He was rattled.
Manny, go ahead.
Hey, two things yesterday that made me almost puke. I don't know if you guys saw it on live TV. It was grown adults with the double jerseys, the Brady jerseys, and that barnacle Jim Gray next to Tom Brady's dad.
What was he doing? To Brady's mom.
He had his arm around Brady's mom.
It was creepy, man.
He was rubbing her shoulder. But it was one of those things where if it was just like, hey, how's it going? And it maybe like went on for maybe 2 seconds. It would have seemed weird, but not like too creepy. That thing continued and continued and continued, and he just kept rubbing
it. It was weird because she obviously was worried. I mean, it was a close game, and they were. She had her head in her hands, and she was looking down. And Gray had his arm around her, saying, "You know, don't worry, he's going to win. Well, he's going to do that."
That's obviously what he does for a living now.
Oh my God, he's
an assistant to Tom Brady. I mean, that's what Jim Gray does now. I mean, obviously. Obviously.
Think about this, Fred. Tom Brady's one of the most famous people in the country, all right? He could have a million different people be in that box with him. People would die to hang out with him and be in his box. It was his dad. It was Giselle. And Jim Gray now holds that place with Tom Brady where he is his A-number-one guy. It's like Guerrero and Jim Gray.
Well, it's like he's on the payroll.
Yeah.
Right?
But even if you're on the payroll, on the payroll is one thing. But now it's like his buddy. Like, if someone's just on your payroll, do they get to be inside your box sitting next to your mom?
In Montana at the retreat?
My point is, and this is an insult to Jim Gray, is that Jim Gray went from national journalist broadcaster to Tom Brady's PR guy. I mean, that's what he does for a living now. So congratulations to Jim Gray.
Throw Tommy.
Yeah, you're a fluffer. You're Tom Brady's fluffer now.
I mean, but it was weird how long he was rubbing the shoulder of Tom Brady's mom.
You know, it would be nice if he was, I don't know, working for NBC on the sideline. But no, he's up in the box as a barnacle on the Brady empire. He works for Brady. It's weird. So Brady's circle is his parents, Giselle, Guerrero, and Jim Gray.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, that's right.
And quite a niche that Jim Gray has worked out for himself. I mean, that's what he does for a living now. That's how he's spending his twilight years.
Yeah,
is traveling around with Brady. I wonder if he like cooks some food and like I wonder what he does. Like if he fetches things for them, if you know they wanted a water, he'd go out and get a water for them. Clean their glasses.
Sure, Spike, anything you want? Spike, come on, Spike, let's go, Spike. No, what are you doing?
Exactly,
They're in their place in Montana, which is far removed from anything, and Brady, like, knocks on Jim Gray's bedroom door and says, you know, Jim, we're missing a couple of bottles of soda for the kids.
He's paying them.
Would you mind driving the 30 minutes back and forth to the closest convenience store to get... We need you in the car for an hour to get a couple of liters of soda for the kids.
Do you think there's not a chance that Jim Gray runs errands for Tom Brady?
Of course
not. No, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
I'm being serious.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure that happens.
That's not out of the realm. If someone's paying you, you're their assistant. They're your boss, by definition. If you're on the payroll, they're your boss. Now, you can say...
Are we going to be cliche-ridden and mamby-pamby bullshit, or are we going to light it up?
So he's Tom Brady's press agent. So congratulations to Jim Gray. He has a job that's usually that a woman right out of college gets, but that's his job now. Like, you've seen the Seinfeld with the PR lady who books him on those club tours and got him the high school gig. That's who he is. He's the lady from...
He's Spider serving drinks at the Goodfellas table.
Uh-huh.
They're going to shoot at his feet.
That's why he was limping. That's why he was limping during the game. All right. When we come back, Andrew Callahan from the Herald will talk to us. He'll share his thoughts if he's on the same page with us in terms of the future of this team. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh, yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
37-yard punt, eventually gathered in, downfield by Jakob Johnson.
Here we go.
And the two-syllable chant before the game has changed now.
Begins
with a B.
We've been with him on the road in these situations. The problem is he relishes that.
Tom Brady, 68 yards from passing Drew Brees.
Yeah, I don't know how much he relished it last night. Tom Brady, not good last night.
And Fred, I think you and I agree, and I think John does as well. I think a lot of it was because it was in his head. He was too amped. He was overthrowing guys. It absolutely affected his game.
Yeah.
And he seemed to almost come this close to admitting it when he was talking to Michelle Tafoya about how it was such an emotional week. But, I mean, I'm not taking away from anything the defense did, but, I mean, he was his own worst enemy many of those times.
No,
Some of those passes were just bad.
Even at the end of the game, we were talking about the deep shots to Antonio Brown. I mean, Brady is smarter than that. I mean, you try and maneuver the ball down the field on third down. Don't go for the deep shot. Get the first down. Set up your kicker in a better position.
Right. That ball was perfect. I can't kill Brady for that. I mean, that ball was perfectly thrown.
All right. Andrew Callahan is the Patriots beat writer for the Boston Herald. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, a line that he shares now with Schwartzy. Andrew Callahan. Okay. So, Mac, listen, the pass defense for Tampa Bay is not good, and it was not good last night, but Mac Jones, in a huge game, was getting killed, and he came out of there. He looked composed. He was accurate. Give us your thoughts on the way he played last night.
I think it was impressive, and I think it's the exact kind of game the Patriots needed him to play. And look, if you're down on Mac Jones, you'll point to the fact that the Bucs were down their top three corners, and he couldn't really exploit them, and you know he only kind of managed the game. And if you're high on Mac Jones, you think, you know, if they're able to give him a little bit more time, they should certainly have a lead. But I think the truth, like most instances, is somewhere in between. And for a kid who's in his week four start of his rookie year against his idol with all that pressure, I think he played pretty well.
Okay, so we agree. We all in the room think he played well, too. And we know now that Mac Jones is not going to be a bad quarterback. I think you would agree with that based on what you just said. But you know what his limitations are, and you know what his strengths are. As someone who covers the team, do you think there's now a blueprint on how you build around Mac Jones?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I think what you would do would help a lot of different quarterbacks, right? I mean, you have to start with the protection because he could also be a fine quarterback moving forward, or he could get scarred just by the number of hits that he's taking, which got up to 12 last night from Tampa Bay. Now I'm projecting a lot. But I think, you know, I wrote about this in the middle of last week. He's been better this year when he's in the gun. He's got three receivers, and he's getting the ball out quickly. And the under center stuff and two tight ends just hasn't rolled just yet. And I think we saw more of that last night, but he can do a lot of things. It's just whatever you want to do from a team standpoint, it just has to start with better protection.
Okay, now outside of that, the rest of the offense, we finally got to see a little bit from the tight ends. The stat sheet doesn't jump out at you, but both of them were in the end zone when it counted. How do you feel that he's starting to incorporate the rest of these guys, especially with James White being out, who kind of was his escape hatch until he got hurt?
Yeah, it's really interesting. When he leads that second touchdown drive in the second half, he has seven straight passes, all completions. No running attempts there to interfere or interrupt. And, you know, they hit six different receivers. So the only guy to catch multiple passes was Jonnu Smith. And I think it speaks to just, you know, his ability to trust different receivers and find them, of course. You know, and then the second pass that Smith caught was the one-yard touchdown pass. So, ideally, you don't have to do that throw on literally every single play, but it was impressive you know, from his standpoint, that the Bucs knew he was going to throw. He's running play action and completing passes anyway.
Andrew, we were talking a little bit in the first hour about whether or not last night was a moral victory for the Patriots. And I guess you can look at it and say, yeah, they did a lot of good things and they're building through a young quarterback. But they played that team pretty much dead even in the second half and had a chance to win and didn't. And there was a key false start penalty that cost them 5 yards of field position. There was a key pass interference penalty on Kyle Van Noy that set Tampa Bay up to kick what turned out to be the game-winning field goal. I'm not sure I'd take a moral victory away from this one. They should have beaten that team last night.
Well, I think when you go into kickoff, right, your expectations are somewhere around the spread. You know, so the Bucs are 7-point coming in. Gronk was out, sure, and they had their corners down. But this is a team that's just much more talented on both sides of the ball. You've got a better quarterback. You know, they're going to be equally as desperate kind of coming off of a loss. And it's at home, but if this is neutral site, you know that spread bumps up to 10 points. The Buccaneers are supposedly 10 points better than the Patriots, and I think even though it's just week four and for the reasons you mentioned, you play a team that's 10 points better than you, you know, really to 2 points and maybe a couple inches to the right, you actually beat them on a field goal. I think you feel pretty good.
What are you hearing about Trent Brown? Because, I mean, it's kind of been – he was back at practice for a little bit last week, right? And he just ended up not playing. What? Because God knows they need him. They need some sort of protection because Mac's getting cracked.
I don't know if just having Brown there is going to solve the problem.
Maybe not, but it will help.
Well, it certainly can't hurt.
No, you're right. It's not going to solve all the problems. But I haven't heard as much about Trent Brown as I saw him. He and I actually shared an elevator ride up the press box like 20 minutes beforehand.
Oh, you two ladies as well.
But you know, if you're a 6'8", 380-pound dude, and you've got calf issues, they're going to take the long road on that to make sure everything's okay. But the problems that Mac Jones is getting, and you saw this in the first or second drive, just free blitzers coming right through the A-gap, you know, right up the gut, the same pressure you want to avoid with Brady, and with Mac Jones, guys bound to the pocket, and they can't pick it up and blitz pickup. David Andrews and Michael Wenu, who had two holding calls in the first quarter, like, they just have problems. And I think, you know, your veteran guys are supposed to be a rock. They're screwing up, and that's as much of a problem as having kind of a revolving door at right tackle.
It's funny, as you watch games around the NFL, there's so many teams having trouble picking up those blitzes up the middle. It's really crazy how confused a lot of linemen are. I've watched a lot of football this year, and it's weird how that's affecting different teams. How much of Mac Jones is getting hit is his inescapability or him not getting rid of the ball quick enough, or is there nothing he can do about it?
No, it's always a mix of both, right? And that's a boring answer, but it's the right one. And you go back last week to New Orleans, and his average time from snap to throw was almost 3 whole seconds, which you're just not going to get away with in the NFL.
You want 2.5, right? That's right around what you want?
Right, right. That's about on average. And he had been around 2.2 versus Miami. So you think about that jump of almost a whole second from that game when he's getting the ball out, like I just mentioned very quickly, he's beating the blitz. And then New Orleans is beating, you know, the hell out of him. Last night was more of the same, but, you know, his snap to throw was lower than it was against the Saints. And, again, because of that protection, you know, he's still getting clobbered.
Well, how was it that the Patriots were basically able to play man-to-man on the three wide receivers for Tampa Bay and get away with it for the balance of the evening? I didn't think those three defensive backs could play those three wide receivers to a standstill, but
Brady
did.
Played like crap.
Well, They did. He did, but they were still there. They weren't guys running wide open.
No,
you're right. And I wanted to know the same from Belichick after the game. And his retort was, it was what we wanted to do because it was what we wanted to do.
So, oh, yeah. Of course. At a point.
These are not really the droids you're looking for. They're not.
No, exactly. You know, I have my theories. I think J.C. Jackson played Mike Evans fairly well. The real issue was Antonio Brown, who looked very much the all-pro that he was in Pittsburgh. Then the mess we've seen the last couple of years against Jonathan Jones is a good corner. But, you know, as you saw, kind of got smoked there in the second half. And then Chris Godwin disappeared on Jalen Mills. So the Godwin part was the biggest mystery to me because I thought Brady would go after him relentlessly, and it just didn't happen. But, you know, yeah, they wanted to play man coverage. They didn't want to give Brady soft zone to kind of exploit. And if the rush didn't get in there, then that zone is definitely falling apart. At least with man-to-man, you might have a chance if they're sticking to the receivers for 2 or 3 seconds, and that's what happened. But how they did it, I mean, I think they just played probably their best football of the year so far.
All right, so Andrew, being at the game with the press, what is the talk about how things happened behind the scenes with Brady and his meeting with Kraft? I know afterwards there was the
20-something plus meeting that Bill Belichick had in the Bucs locker room alone with Tom. What are you hearing was said? Are you hearing anything behind the scenes as to how that went?
So they, meaning Brady and Belichick, did not speak before the game. And then their only interaction to the public eye afterward was the quick hug, and Belichick says, you know, I'll meet you after. And so once Bruce Arians leaves the locker room for Tampa Bay after the game to go do his post-game press conference and leave for the buses, Belichick just zooms straight in there, and it catches everyone somewhat by surprise, stays in there, it's longer. And that was part of the delay for Brady, who, you know, from the end of the game until when he stepped up for his own press conference, it was about an hour and a half. So he apologized for taking a little bit longer. So naturally, Brady was glowing. He was happy. He wouldn't disclose what was said. But, you know, Belichick made a point to really take his time inside there, not do it for any of the cameras. And it was the same that Brady did with Kraft before the game.
I have to be honest. I was somewhat surprised at how well the Patriots side of things handled all of this. I mean, after you had heard Tom Brady's dad talking, Alex Guerrero talking, I mean, it was like the Patriots essentially did everything right. Even on top of, and then the Belichick going into the locker room, that was somewhat surprising. It truly seems like all of this has kind of been put to bed after last night.
I agree. And, you know, part of me wonders, too, that as this continued to build, and, like, look, I think we had every reason to build it and hype it up for everything that it was and will stand the test of time, that they might have just looked at themselves and been like, what really matters here? Is it all this animosity that's maybe been overblown as time has continued to pass and Brady and Belichick look at themselves now in their second year apart and just go, we both want the same thing. We want to win. And it's not because we're apart, but it's because we've always wanted to win. So maybe that was more of that last year, but Belichick feels good about the kid that he's drafted. We were just talking about the star, played very well, Mac Jones. You know, and of course, Brady, you know, is very confident in what he's done going to Tampa Bay because he's already got a Super Bowl. So if you let the rest go by, you just get back to being the greatest coach and greatest quarterback of all time. And you get to chat like that with any sort of past animosity or employer-employee relationship. And at that point, you just get to talk ball.
What did you take out of him saying that he might be back here in some sort of aspect when Brady was kind of doing a big market tease that there could be some sort of return? What did you get out of that quote?
Yeah, so to me, it was only really a reflection of Robert Kraft telling the NFL Network before the game that he believes Brady will come back and he'll be inducted in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Oh, sure.
I don't know why that needed, like, happen. I think you built this in anticipation of that day. Everything else, this doesn't matter if Brady doesn't get in. But I think it's just a ceremonial, probably one-day contract that Kraft has in mind. But then when directly asked about it, Brady was like, oh, he hasn't offered me that, so I don't really know. So the biggest part about that was Brady mentioned unsolicited coming back to New England, which to him seems very obvious after he's retired with all his friends in Boston and in and around the region. It's just a little less obvious to everyone else, of course, because we just spent the whole week building up, you know, the divorce from him and Belichick. So I think we'll sign that one-day contract, but he wouldn't commit to that just yet after bringing it up himself that, oh, yeah, I'll definitely be back. Why? Oh, well, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, he'll be back. And by the way, there's nothing in that Wickersham book. Very disappointing. All right.
I think they just gave the best stuff away to ESPN last Wednesday.
Yeah. Well,
I thought the Bill O'Brien stuff was pretty funny.
That's funny. But then there's like people who put excerpts up and they're like hysterical part of the book. And it will be like Brady walked into someone's office and he had a dog in a bag and it was Giselle's dog. And you're like, all right. Well,
oh, hang on.
My dog came to work.
Mangini picking a fight with Bill Belichick's pretty great.
No.
For what could have been.
All right. I'm not dissing the Wickersham book. I'm not saying it's not an entertaining read. I'm saying there's nothing that came out of it that makes you go like, oh, my God, what a dysfunctional thing was happening
other,
in
right.
New England. Like. It isn't in there. It's not if it's a readable book or if there's funny stories, even though the dog one wasn't funny. But I mean, it's like, wow, he brought his dog
to work.
Does
that remind you of life at home? Is that why that one stuck in memory there?
I don't know. One of our first days at WBCN, I brought my dog in and it went up to like one of the corporate guy's offices and peed under his desk. So, I mean, that's a better story than what's in his book. All right.
Like, you could write a book. Yeah.
Oh, I could write a book, my friend, about all the chicks I've laid. All right, Andrew Callahan. It would be
solid endpoint.
Nice. Be three pages. All right, Andrew Callahan. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
See you, man.
See ya.
This is pretty funny. One of our listeners just tweeted us and said, according to Pro Football Focus, the Kyle Van Noy DPI alone boosted the Bucks' win probability from 48% to 65%.
Yes. Yes. They mentioned it on...
He's back.
I watched the highlights on SportsCenter, and they made a big deal about the pass interference.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, yes, it was a big play.
Uh-huh.
Well, he wanted to get on TV. He wanted the crowd to know that he was there. I wonder if they asked Cal Van Noy in the presser, like, will you ever be back to New England? I mean, the red jacket's mine.
If I do, I'm making a super slick video for my social media account to let you know.
But first, a commercial of me staring into a mirror for Dunkin' Donuts.
I'll tell you what. I love Dunkin' Donuts, but I will tell you this. When he is in the stands with the headphones on.
Ear drumming.
And McCourty goes, hey, this is my quiet place. And then he goes, this is my loud place. Boom, 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 boom.
So are you saying that McCourty is the Peyton Manning to Kyle Van Noy's Papa John?
I mean, who had the most charisma?
I think we all know.
It was Papa John.
It was Papa J.
You put me in that commercial, you put Rich in that commercial, you're going to get a better air drum.
Mm-hmm, no question.
That's not a very good air drum.
The air drum king on Fridays.
But Dunkin' Donuts has said since Kyle Van Noy has been one of our spokespeople, sales are up 5,000,000%. People just are slamming down iced coffees like nobody's business.
Right.
I want to be like Kyle Van Noy. Oh, he stinks. And if you're a Patriots fan, you can't be happy about him today. Cost you the game. That is a huge play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Massive.
Huge play.
Led to the game-winning field goal.
So much for the boogeyman. Slater getting unsportsmanlike. You know, Slater did, you know, that was calculated. Slater was like, I don't know. When I run down the field on this punt, I'm really going to get in this guy's face. Hey, sucker.
He must have run 40 yards out of bounds. Like, I mean, like I said, even when it was wide open for him to get back in, he's like, no way. I'm hanging out here.
Yeah, he's like, the wind velocity plus the rain equals, I take this angle.
But that's straight.
She's using the Pythagorean theorem.
Can't go straight. That's
well, when they kick the ball, I run.
Gotta stay in bounds, though.
Well, says you. Nah. All right, we'll be back. If you're a Patriots fan, I do think that today you should be happy because you know there's no moment that's too big for your quarterback.
And we need to talk about a certain assistant coach on the sidelines. And,
well, he's the Jordan of assistant coaches. I mean, I don't know if I'm a pro athlete. I'm listening to that kid. To be honest with you, and Ted Johnson said it too. I don't know if I'm listening to that kid. All right. Like, all right, Mullen.
You think he can control that thing?
No.
You think that's just kind of what
I think that's a facial tick.
If he sits still for more than like 3 seconds, it just all of a sudden the worm finds a hole.
We're going to talk about it, but like imagine if you're like in a business meeting and there's just a guy. You'd be like, what's wrong with this guy? He's just got his tongue hanging out of his mouth the whole time. All right, hear that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I formation. Johnson in front of Harris. Play fake. Throw to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Jonnu Smith. A beautiful fake from Jones to Harris. And a touchdown to tie it. Pending the point after.
I know I said it 2 weeks ago. And I tell you what, you got a quarterback.
After the game, I got a chance to congratulate him on the win, and he's a great quarterback, and he played well tonight, and that's pretty much all there was to it. He just told me to keep my head up and keep working.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That, of course, is the very masculine sounding Mac Jones. So, Bob, go ahead.
You know, Tom Brady played at Gillette, what, 17, 18, 19 years. And I got to be honest with you. This is the telling of Tom Brady. And this is how you know he knows that Mac Jones outplayed him. How many times did Tom Brady bring up the rain? I mean, I've never heard Tom Brady ever bring up the elements when it came to a win or a loss. So, you know, maybe he needs, you know, and by the way, Jim Gray is the assistant to Kramer at the Kramer. That's who he
yes,
is.
Yes. Pretty soon they're going to be dropping a big oil balloon off the top of Gillette Stadium.
Right. And okay, Mr. Kraft, when did you want to speak to Mr. Brady to have coffee? But seriously, guys, when has Brady ever really... That's the one thing that really jumped out at me. When he mentioned the rain, like, wasn't he always revered?
He played bad. He was outplayed by Mac Jones. I agree with you.
And when he was here, he played well in snow. He played well in rain. I mean, it's true. What the caller says is true.
Dan said it the best. He played like 2019 Tom Brady.
Well, this week got to him, too. And that's the other thing. And he even somewhat admitted so afterwards that it was a very emotional week. And if they would have lost that game, all of the talk would have been, well, maybe he shouldn't have been worried about selling his own commemorative T-shirts at the game and all of his social media stuff.
He was wearing the sweatshirt on the way in.
Of course he did. Yeah. Of course he was. Or, you know, launching your new product line. Because he did that this week, too.
Or having Guerrero talk for you and all those things.
He would have gotten absolutely killed if Folk would have made that field goal. And, I mean, still... Listen, Brady seemed to know exactly what was going on after the game. He knew he played crappy, and he knew that on the biggest regular season stage, he was outplayed by a rookie. And so that can't feel good if you're him. Now, that doesn't obviously mean that he's, you know, fallen off a cliff, but that's an embarrassing night for Tom Brady despite the win. So I just...
I just think he's glad it's over. And then hearing his comments after the game...
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of closure. I think that conversation with Belichick... in the locker room probably meant a lot to both guys, and I think that indeed we can finally move on.
Yeah, and I think that also, you know, that 20-minute talk for Belichick put it to bed.
Yeah,
I like the fact that he did that because, you know, he took a lot of crap this week, and some of it deservedly so. I mean, if he did indeed tell Tom Brady that, you know, he didn't want to meet him in person and just did it over the phone, you know, that's a dick move for a guy that, you know, helped you, you know, you were his most important player on that you'll ever coach, and you just didn't even want to meet him face to face. So I thought that was a great move by Belichick, and it truly, I think, put everything to bed yesterday.
Yeah, I think,
and both of them can kind of walk away with a win in a way.
We can finally move on. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, what's up, guys? Love listening to you. Two quick points. Watching the game last night, the single worst human being on the planet, Kyle Van Noy. Number two, Alex Guerrero. I'm good, thank you.
All right, there you go. I'm back. The best is someone tweeted us, and I didn't see this, and said that Hightower went to see someone to Brady, and then Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, Tom.
I know you as well as about 1 million people do. Monty, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I just wanted to, everybody, really, your opinion. What's the worst tick? Would you rather have Adam Gase's crazy eyes or Bill Belichick's son's whatever that was?
His tongue?
His tongue hanging out, his Jordan-esque tongue.
I'd rather have the crazy eyes than what I saw last night on the sideline.
Let's say you were cursed with constant Adam Gase eyes or constant Steve Belichick tongue. Which one would you want? Oh,
Gase. I'm going Gase.
Yeah, I got to go because you can put sunglasses on.
Can you imagine, like, you're in a meeting and you work for an ad agency and you're pitching the jewelry company your ad, and the guy from the jewelry company is sitting there going, with his tongue out. All right. Please don't make that noise.
If there was, like, if he was mic'd up, like if they did the NFL films and it's Steve Belichick just mic'd up,
don't make
how much
noise.
Is just a low drone, almost like a vuvuzela?
Yeah, wear a mask, man. Seriously.
Jesus.
The pandemic was good for Steve.
I know, no kidding.
Yeah. See, one thing if you're dribbling a ball and, like, you know, hanging in the air for 3 seconds. It's right. Another thing when you're just standing there like a moron.
I mean, high five to the production people who just said, you keep putting that camera on Steve Belichick. I mean, he's the gift that keeps on giving. Every time they put it on him, dude couldn't keep that thing in his mouth.
He's got to work on that. He's really got to work on that. That's not good.
And if he wasn't doing that, he was like hawking up a loogie.
it was either him and spitting, or it was that tongue just trying to find a place to go.
Yeah, he's got that stupid mullet, and his dad's the coach. He's maybe got everything, all these things against him.
Listen, I think it's a smart move. Maybe he got the mullet, so you put your eyes on the mullet and not on the mouth.
Can you imagine listening to that kid? Like, I'm not listening to you.
Like, what if you're like Hi, Dante Hightower?
Like, who the hell are you?
He walks up to him.
It's like showing you film. Stupid mullet. Big, like, lacrosse guy. Ugh. Boo. I mean, off air, what's his face? Ted Johnson's like, I don't know how these guys are listening to that kid. I'm not listening to him.
So there's no way Steve Belichick's headset goes anywhere, right?
Not connected. Oh, no. It's not connected. Or it's connected to someone going, do this.
That's right. Bill just gives him a headset and has him stand on the sideline.
They turn on his microphone and they listen.
I like that theory, though. I like that theory, though, because they have Jerod Mayo call the defense, and they said, all right, Steve, you can call the defense. They give him a headset that doesn't go anywhere.
Last night, they called him the de facto defensive coordinator.
No, Steve, what set we running?
Can you imagine, like, I'm not listening to you yet. You're panting,
Dad,
like a effing dog.
They're not running the defenses I'm calling.
Yeah, no,
it's okay.
No, they're not.
It's all right.
No,
son.
Exactly. They're not.
No, you're okay.
What if it's next level play calling? Like, it's almost like, you know, when you had the controller, the Nintendo controller, and you knew the Contra code, up, up, down, down. He's doing that with his tongue.
Left,
up, left, up, down, left, down, up.
Well, if you watch Clemson, and they hold up those boards, and there's like four
right.
like pitches
yep,
on them.
Right.
Yep. It's the position of how stupid he looks.
It's watch like, the tongue.
Like, he looks real dumb. Oh, okay, that means that we're playing two safeties back.
What's a play? Two lefts, upright, and a spit.
Blitz. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Well, he looked like an idiot. I can't imagine listening to that kid.
How does someone just not, like, while he's talking, reach out and just pinch his tongue?
Put that back inside.
I mean, put him in any other situation. I mean, if put him in any other, like, you're out to dinner with two people, and this guy's tongue's hanging out the whole time. Like, what's wrong with you?
You mentioned Steve Belichick, and the phones light up.
There you go. A lot of people have opinions on what he looked like. He did look dumb. All right. When we come back, we will go around the NFL as other games were played yesterday and starting to see some patterns and only a couple winless teams left, and one undefeated team left. So we will talk all about that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.